Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This is Devin Neal. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch and Player Profiler Nations, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch and Player Profiler podcast feed, wherever it is you're listening to this. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Theo Grimminger from Player Profiler Fantasy Points. We're going to have a different kind of setup today. We got the whole crew here, Cody Carpentier, Jason Allwine, Brendan Booth. We're all going to kind of hop in and give some thoughts from day two at the Senior Bowl, and also some Theo wasn't here yesterday, so maybe some thoughts from sort of day one and sort of where we are with these players. I think Theo, I'll throw it to you to start, man. Like, where's your head at? What are you thinking coming out of this second day of practices?
Well, a number of players that played well on day one continued to play well on day two, which is nice to see. It wasn't like any kind of a fluke, and that was really good to see for a couple of these guys. I'll say for me, Jalen Knoll for Iowa State, eye-opening. This is a player where I think the way he's played the last 2 days, the way he looks athletically, the way he's able to adjust on some of those catches, this is a guy where I think some team's going to take him in the second round. And I wouldn't have said that at all heading into this event. I was fully ready to like Jaden Higgins more than him. And Higgins was fine today, but Jalen Knoll continues to play well. We talked on another show yesterday about Elijah Arroyo. Elijah Arroyo just looks the part. This is another guy where I think gained substantial NFL draft capital. We love seeing those tight ends that get top 45, top 50 overall NFL draft capital for fantasy. And Arroyo's right there. Just looked the part. And then, Alex, a couple guys yesterday where we were like, we want to see a little bit more from. And I think we did. Devin Neal flashed a little bit for us today. Harold Fannin Jr. played better. So for me, it's been an overall positive. There's a lot of depth here.
Yeah, well, it's just like, all right, so there's a lot of depth, and I think what's interesting when we talk about Jalen Knoll, because I'm with you. At this point, I've kind of thrown my hands up with the wide receivers, and especially with the American team. But which is weird, because on the American team, it's the team where they at least have, you know, they have, as far as the quarterbacks, they have, you know, Riley Leonard, and they have Jalen Milroe, and they have Jackson Dart, and they have, you know, and of course over on the national team, you got Dylan Gabriel, Tyler Shuck, and then the candidate guy, right? As far as the overall group of quarterbacks, it's better for the American team, but it feels like, man, it's been hard for a wide receiver in that group to stand out, at least to me. And so when I think about the other side, I think to me, it's definitely Jalen Knoll. And I wouldn't have thought it coming in. I would have thought coming in, like, this is going to be something where, you know, Alec Iamanner from Stanford, it turns out, you know, he didn't end up showing up, right? I would have thought it would be somebody like him, maybe a Xavier Restrepo that we talked about yesterday, all-time Miami wide receiver leader as far as all the statistical categories at a school that has produced everybody from, you know, Reggie Wayne to Santana Moss and Andre Johnson and who knows who else. We're talking about the alpha sort of leader there statistically. He comes out here to Restrepo, and he's, what, 5'8", 5, Was he 5'9"
on the 5'9" on the nose?
But he almost looks 5'8" because yeah. He's so he's heavier than I thought. Heavier footed in his routes, all this stuff. Jalen Noel gets out there, dude. He plays strong. He plays fast. He has suction cup hands, and he can get separation in every kind of way. He can get separation laterally. He can get open with double moves. He can run by guys. I think he's been playing outside at the Z wide receiver here this week, but I can see him easily transitioning to the slot at the next level. We talked about there was the comps going around today with Jalen Noel. People say he plays like he plays mean and physical, like an Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He's a poor man's Amon-Ra.
Yeah, and so we heard that comp kind of bandied about today. Cody's original comp was Christian Kirk, which I thought was interesting looking back. Of course, we've seen Kirk, what he's been able to do both outside and out of the slot at the NFL level. Just a really unique piece, and again, not one that I thought coming in here that was – going to be my favorite by any means, but that's how it is every year, right? You come here and it's like Christmas morning every time. You get to unwrap the presents and see what's what.
And it's interesting you bring up Restrepo, because I think that the hype for Noel is going to be even stronger when people look at 3 days worth of practice. If Xavier Restrepo was doing what Jalen Noel is doing to like over the last 2 days, people would sort of be losing their minds based on like the hype he had coming in, sort of the name brand he brought here. So Jalen Noel, I actually really like that one from Cody, and people don't get like overly hyped, but I think that's a very realistic one. Christian Kirk gave us a wide receiver one season, another wide receiver two season. Jalen Noel is going to be, I think, higher draft capital than we saw with Kirk after what we've seen here, but definitely a really big one. I thought what was interesting, Alex, is just the two of us talking where the position you're having difficulty ranking is running back, and it's not because the guys are not showing up. It's because there's just so many of them.
No, that's obviously been the case. It's like, all right, so with these wide receivers, we've talked about it, right? And whenever we look at this year's wide receiver class, at the very top, of course, everybody's going to have the top guys. You know all about Travis Hunter and Luther Burden and Tet McMillan and Emeka Buka and the Texas guys, right? Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond. You start thinking then after those guys, it's like maybe does one of these Senior Bowl guys start to slip in? Like Cody's really high on Torrey Horton from Colorado State, who we saw earlier this year versus Texas and got a really good look at him. And then Elik Iyemanner, if he would have come, would he be there? What about Trey Harris from Ole Miss, right? So it's like your best here at this event starts to become like, okay, is that wide receiver? Are we talking wide receiver 10, 11? Whereas with the running backs, one of these, dude, I mean, just look who all is here. I mean, we have Ollie Gordon here. Damian Martinez has looked good. Devin Neal had a better day of practice today than he's had before. Jarquez Hunter continues to look to me like a professional running back. I Cody hates the comp. I think he looks like Blake Corum out there. He's got the same forward lean, the same kind of prowl, always falls forward.
Exceptional strength like Corum physically.
RJ Harvey from UCF, like, to me, like, my initial comp on him is like just a little powerball kind of Doug Martin type. A lot of these guys are good, and that's before we even talk about the guys that I've come here and been so surprised in, like SMU.
Rashard Smith,
looking like kind of the big surprise here as far as running backs. I'm just like, okay, so at Roster Watch, we have to do the 14th annual All-Senior Bowl team, right? And we pride ourselves on like, all right, well, the next year, we'd like these guys to be the best, right? We don't want to pick – somebody, pick guys for the All-Senior Bowl team that are going to, aren't going to play. And then somebody rushes for 1,000 yards that isn't on it. And I'm like, well, I mean, what am I going to leave off Trevor Etienne? Who am I going to leave off? And and then there's other guys like I'm sure Jason will come on and he'll talk about his guy, Marcus Yarns, who CJ2K said yesterday was his favorite running back of the day and stuff. It's like, I guess this has been a long-winded and sort of winding road to say that the running backs are much better than the wide receivers, and I'm having a hard time stacking them up.
Well, I think it's a great that you pointed that out, because last year we saw the end of the first round of the NFL draft, Xavier Leggett, Ricky Purcell both sneak into that end of the first round. maybe with the overall quality, everybody says when the running back class is deep, it's going to cause guys to fall. I think it could have a contrary effect where you're going to see teams position themselves to beat the posse to get ahead of those second round teams and get their preferred back. It's like the RB2, RB3. And maybe that creates like a cascade effect and some of our guys actually get pushed up. I'll save the roster watch team a little bit of time, write down in ink, and Cody's already got it in ink. Ollie Gordon's your RB1 on your all senior bowl team. That's the one where we love the class, but just standing next to Ollie Gordon, like I'm a big guy. Ollie Gordon's built like some of these tight ends down here. When you stand next to him, the wingspan, everything about Ollie Gordon, it's been, and I gave Cody props on this one. Like I've had a lot of people on my pods. That's been a guy where the production went down a little bit this year. Oklahoma State struggled.
It went down a good bit.
Yeah, bit. Yeah. But he still had he still had 13 rushing touchdowns on a bad Oklahoma State team. But Cody stuck to his guns on this one. And I think that there's going to be a big market correction on Ollie Gordon. Maybe some deleted tweets on Ollie Gordon, because I think this guy's back to I think he's a second round pick in the NFL draft. So
do you want to hop on and talk Ollie?
Very, very impressive. And here comes Cody Carpentier right now. Cody,
flat,
I just gave you some
flat circle. It's a flat
time
circle.
Is a flat circle.
Alex always says it. The draft is a flat circle. Time is a flat circle. Whatever, doesn't matter. When you know a guy is good, when you see a guy is good and it's established, it's not that hard to stick to your guns on him. And there's team adjustments like Oklahoma State. There's very poor team this year, very poor quarterback play, offensive line play across the board. You cannot knock a guy with talent like Ollie Gordon. When you walk out there, and my first thought yesterday was, I think I made the tweet, it was like, he looks a lot like, to me, he looked a lot like a Najee Harris, who Najee Harris, I wasn't at that Senior Bowl, but Alex was, ended up being a first-round pick with an ETN in his class. And I like Ollie Gordon more, I think, than what I see out of Najee Harris on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you're great with the very realistic comps. And I think, like, for me, Ollie Gordon, I'll say, like, the floor is, in a good way, Brian Robinson of Washington. Like a floor play where a guy that's going to be on an NFL field, he's going to be a two-way back. He looks good catching the ball from a really, really large back. And he's 233 and he carries it really well. So that was good. And I'll say another guy where Alex and I didn't talk about it, but we're both very high going into the process on Jalen Royals. Mm-hmm. And I think Jalen Royals today really showed that physicality. You used the word savviness. Day one, he looked like he was a little bit banged up. I had a chance to talk to him after down on the field, and he told me he was only playing at 80%. And you could kind of see that, but he's a grown-ass man on some of those routes.
I like that. He's at 80%. Yeah. How much that do you believe? Again, we're in the process of this, but typically guys that are in that situation, they don't show up to the event. They're like, well, I'm hurt. I'm going to save it. I'm going to go to the combine. We'll talk about the combine when we get to the combine, but you can make a lot of hay running all the routes at the combine and running at the combine, being healthy. And Royals, who was prolific early this year, was hurt, showed up. A lot of people didn't show up. A lot of guys we've talked about didn't show up. Royals did. Thought he was actually very underwhelming yesterday. But today, like you talked about, the savviness, the strength, right? I mean, there was a play. He got called for a PI, which I think is a little BS. But, I mean, because you see these cornerbacks with this tight man press off the line of scrimmage, and they might get up on this receiver's chest, right? And Royals came off and just full extension, boom, bopped a cornerback 6 yards back. And the ref threw a flag. And I was like, dude, he's with it. I mean, he's like right at the line of scrimmage. That's not a flag. But here nor there, aggressiveness, he's 211 pounds. I still like Jalen Royals. And guess what? I'm still – in the conductor chair.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely on him. So I think it was a good day for, you know, the guys who had like sort of a hive coming in, where Harold Fannin, Devin Neal, Jalen Royals were the hype coming in, and then you saw it on day two. Sometimes it takes guys a little time to get comfortable in this sort of environment. So this is a really good one. Cody, I'm actually going to hand it over to Jason Allwine. Jason also has been deeply covering this event. He's got a number of guys that he's high on. So yeah, keep on listening to this guy, because he's Cody, when he's on a guy, he's usually pretty right.
I appreciate you, Theo. Jason, I want to ask you the first question. I'm going to let you sit down here, but my first question is going to be, explain Mr. Yarns.
I had to go ahead and explain Marcus Yarns. Well, you know, last year, been a year since I've been on the couch with you and Alex. You know, got to go to my first Senior Bowl, and of course, I talked about Ryan Flournoy, how he caught my eye.
Hey, being man, from a small, had some opportunities this year.
He did, and he got drafted, and probably wasn't supposed to. So, you know, I kind of always like finding that guy that blows your mind, I guess, in a way, in terms of expectations, because mm-hmm. we all go into this event, we've studied so many different players, and Marcus Yarns was probably the player all of us studied the least. You know, his stats didn't pop off a page or anything. He's at FCS school over at Delaware. But he showed up yesterday, day one. And of course, it's just one-on-one routes against the linebacker. But he just had some incredible cuts, was super elusive, great soft hands. And you can kind of see that this guy is a talented back, especially as a receiver out of the backfield. I will say he's undersized. And today he got lit up. He's 186 pounds, 5'10". And he did take a big hit today. He was able to bounce back, close practice, and a one-on-one rep. Got a nice little route, caught it. Mm-hmm. We'll take that. We'll take that win. So, you know, to hear CJ2K is high on him as well after one day of practice, I think that lends some credence to how good he looked. I will say less good in day two than day one, though.
The body for Marcus Yarns is interesting to me. I think I went and talked to him, and he's, you know, Theo talked about being next to Ollie Gordon. You go up next to Marcus Yarns, and you're like, gosh, what is this guy? Because he's not like a Sproles, where he's really dense in the lower body, and he's short, and he's small. He's not like a Deuce Vaughn, who's borderline, you know, a midget. And he's not like – I'm trying to think through the all day. One of the guys I'm sitting there thinking like, who is – I love the comps. I love doing comps.
Right? Of course. You're good at it.
Thank you. I love thinking through like, what is Marcus Yarns? And he looks like a receiver. And I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I think he's a guy that can play. I think he's good on the backfield. He only had 17 receptions last year. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season at Delaware. Mm-hmm. And Alex was asking, he's like, you know, we're not all the way done with our running back evals. We did all the receivers, but he's like, why is he here? I'm like, why? I think honestly, watching him, I think he doesn't look like he's out of place.
No, I agree.
But from a box score standpoint, you're like, why is he here? But where's he fit? Like, he only had 17 receptions. Like I said, he didn't come in here like a Dylan Lobb with 49 receptions.
Right.
And Theo stands up today and he goes, Dylan Yarns? He goes, Marcus Lobb? I'm like, I think this kid's better than Lobb. And Lobb is, you know, McCaffrey light. Yeah, you know, he was never going to be McCaffrey, but like that was the archetype of what you kind of wished out of him was a McCaffrey type. I'm not sure what Yarns how Yarns kind of fits in an offense. I think he's a guy that's 100% a special teams potential ace in a lot of situations, but I think he's a good back. I think he's a good back in a, you know, ridiculously deep class. Is probably going to end up putting him at like that 18 to 24 range.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be buried. And if he gets a good landing spot, I mean, that could be helpful. But, you know, it's a massively uphill battle that he needs to climb, especially being from an FCS school. But, yeah, like you said, he fit in here, looks explosive, quick. We like that kind of stuff, especially, you know, the receiving prowess. And I would say, I mean, we have Breshard Smith, who we talked about, you know, looking amazing. I would say he's the best all-around back so far.
Yeah.
He's a wide receiver turned running back. Oh. And I would say that Yarns looks like a better receiving back.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Than Breshard Smith so far.
That's a good. I don't know if I'm quite there, but I don't think it's a bad take at all.
Thanks.
That's supposed to be a compliment, but not like a negatively side thing. But is there any other running backs on that? So on the second team,
okay,
for the running backs, Jarquez Horner, R.J. Harvey, ETN, Breshard Smith, all. I thought looked good out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Devin Neal,
I would, yeah.
I don't know about that. But the other guys all look good. I like that. I know Theo and Alex were just talking about how good the running back group is, but the running back group really grew on me throughout the entire day. I've kind of been focusing a lot on the trenches, offensive line, defensive line, and then receiver. And I will say I've tended to kind of keep my eye away from the quarterback play after how yesterday went and how the beginning of today started, I was like, bah, I'm good on this. I'll keep, you know, running back kind of has been the same thing. Cause I kind of have my feel to everybody. Is there anybody in that second group though, like I named off Hunter, Harvey, Smith, ETN? I think we kind of talked about Smith a little bit, but yeah, what are your thoughts on any of those guys?
So ETN to me didn't do too much day one, but I think he flashed a lot today. Mm-hmm. And what kind of stuck out to me or started the day is obviously on day two, they post all the stats online from day one's practice. And ETN was actually the fastest running back out of both teams. He recorded the fastest mile per hour speed over 20 miles per hour. And I didn't even notice that yesterday.
We talk about this. I think those are interesting stats, you know?
I do too.
Because in two aspects, one, because if you're at practice, this is, I guess, maybe a negative towards this, but if you're at practice, you realize that when they have a play, the plays are 3 second plays.
They're so fast.
When a running back touches the ball, the running back, if it's an inside run, he goes to the inside run, boom, he might pop outside and the play's over, but he may finish to the end zone.
Yeah.
On a receiver play, whatever, he makes his move at the line, he off the stem. If he's going downfield like an Arian Smith, he may reach into a top speed. But for like the tight ends, the running backs, the edge rushers and stuff,
yeah.
When you see these 17, 18, 19, 20 mile an hour things, if I was at the event,
yeah,
Jason, every single play, you know what I'm doing? Every play. I'm sprinting down the sideline because I want to be one, two, three, four, and five on that list for no reason. I think it's interesting that he was the fastest, but I also like I would game the system so badly if I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, it is definitely that is a good point because the running backs they'll definitely get hit immediately and then still just run straight.
And they're like, oh, I'm going to finish it through the end zone. It's like I don't have a problem with them finishing through the end zone, but I just think it's interesting that it's like how in this setting it's thud in a little bit. Oh, the linebacker from South Carolina didn't hear that, but. It's pretty much thud. One more question, one more thought I want to talk to you about is receiver, because I know you keep an eye on Arian Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You're from the Atlanta area,
yeah.
Athens area. Arian Smith from that second group, he's grown on me all day yesterday. He had a
– yeah.
I was maybe the opposite of high on Arian Smith coming in.
Yeah, I think most people were.
Day one, I was like, hey, there's something here. Mm-hmm. Day two began, looked good, caught a lot of footballs. And then he kind of hit like a wall where he kind of resorted back to like his old play earlier this year where he's jumping and clapping and missing the ball. And they ran four consecutive plays where he dropped three of them, finally mm-hmm. caught the fourth one because they were like, we got to do it again. Jackson Dart threw the football to him. What are your overall thoughts on Arian Smith?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I do want to bring up how important consistency is at this event. That's a little bit understated. I feel like that most people, they latch onto that 1-2 plays that are highlights. And Arian Smith has had a couple of those. In fact, probably one of the better catches of the day was Arian Smith in the back of the end zone. But like you said, he hit a wall today. He slipped on back-to-back routes. He had multiple drops. He was still getting the separation, but I want to see some consistency from him. I'm excited to see what he can do day three. But I heard Alex and you, I think, kind of talk to him about Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a very interesting comp. Someone who can have those big games, does have that athleticism, but is sometimes going to drop those big passes, is sometimes not going to finish his route because he stumbles, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an excellent comp from what I've seen from him. It is kind of exciting, though. He's made some big plays, has the athleticism, but hasn't quite put it all together in terms of consistency.
A bit of a one-trick pony.
I don't know if I want to go that far because, I mean, he showed some speed. He's shown some good route running skills, and he's shown soft hands. But he's also been catching with his body a lot. Even the deep catches.
Alex talks about a lot of the Arian Smith today was.
Yes.
It was like he heard that ball crack the pads, and you're like, not quite what I want out of my
100%.
Out of my burner wide receiver. So MVS.com, I literally wrote that down after Alex said it. It's not the same body type. Obviously, MVS is like 6'4", 195. This mm-hmm. kid's, I don't even remember what he was, 6. I think
he's right at 6.
I was going to say, was he even 6? Let me pull it up here. Arian Smith, 5'11", 6'8", 175, 9-inch mitts. I projected him at a 4.33. I don't know. I think that the speed's going to get him there. It's the same thing with MBS.
He looks bigger than 175, I think.
I mean, I think he's got more muscle than your typical 175-pounder.
That's definitely
fair.
That's
probably the end.
I guess while we're talking undersized, because Tez Walker or Tez Johnson has been a big kind of discussion point around Mobile.
Tez Walker's a good comp for Arian Smith.
That is a good comp for Arian Smith. We'll go with Tez Walker for Arian Smith. But Tez Johnson, You made a really good point today at practice. When we're looking at these undersized receivers, we don't just want to see these flash plays. He's, of course, making these. We want to see true domination. Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of talk about that. We haven't seen the domination from Tez Johnson. He's just looked pretty good. And these drills at the Senior Bowl are going to be very conducive for his archetype of wide receiver to find some success. So what are you kind of expecting from him as we finish out the last day of practice tomorrow?
I think he took a, you know, one thing I said yesterday, I think, is that, like you said, I want the domination, but I want 1-3 consecutive days of it. Mm-hmm. I was fine with what he did yesterday. It was expected. I was expecting the separation. I was expecting the clips on YouTube, or on YouTube, on Twitter, to be, oh, Tez Johnson's creating separations, blah, 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 blah. I want to see more of that on the inside. I want to see more of him separating on the inside when he's maybe not supposed to just get an easy option to go outside where his body naturally takes him.
Right.
Or winning downfield with clear separation like Tank Dell. Beat it like a drum. Beat it like a dead horse. It's like winning downfield with elite separation mm-hmm. is what I'm looking for. So I thought Tez did a little bit better job today. Not saying he was bad yesterday, but I think he took a step forward. Tomorrow, what I want to see is – well, first and foremost, I want to see Elijah Arroyo not be at practice. We'll just put
out
there.
Yeah, let's get him out.
But the other thing I want to see is Tez take another step.
I agree.
Take another step and be, you know, the guy.
Yeah.
Because there's not a – we talked about Jalen Noll, but there's no clear the guy here. Jalen Noll's fine. There's no clear the guy. Tez could be the guy, I think. And I would – he needs another day to stack it. Mm-hmm. And the comps we had written down coming in. X Worthy, Calvin Austin, Tyler Scott. I think you look at Kevontae Turpin to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's a wide range.
More special team stuff. Tank Dell's obviously got to be in that conversation. A lot of small dudes. I mean, when I saw the weigh-in, it was like Trendon Holiday. That was
brutal. That's a pull.
But I mean, because you look at the number of guys that are sub 160. There ain't many of them.
That's me.
Right? So that's you. Jason's playing wide receiver for Oregon next year.
So
that's what we got. Brendan, we want to get Brendan in here.
Yeah, man.
Let's get Brendan in here. Barry Sorrell, I see you in the chat. Appreciate you hopping on, Barry. Hey, fellas, what's number four looking like on the American squad defense? Well, Barry, it's a fantasy show, but. Orange Bloods Nation, we'll talk about Baron Sorrell because Baron Sorrell finished practice very well. I mean, he had a great practice all day today. Him and Shamar Stewart flashed on the edge, Texas A&M guys. Baron finished three consecutive reps against Emory Jones, the right tackle from LSU. Phenomenal. Baron looks really good, Barry. Appreciate you tapping in. Hope all is well. Baron's trending in a great direction. Brandon Booth. Yes. What's going on, brother? This is your first Senior Bowl.
First Senior Bowl. And that was some good trench analysis, Cody. I like that. I wasn't watching those guys, except for the guard from Notre Dame. He was at guard. I think he's a tackle, but that guy's a beast.
First Senior Bowl. Fantasy football. Who's the biggest takeaway? It's a lot to take in coming to the first Senior Bowl. I mean, I've only been to four. Alex has been to 14. Taking it on day one, day two, Who was the coach who said Brent Venables? Who's like, yeah, firehose in my mouth, right? It's just like terrible analogy, but firehose.
I got a lot of takes. Jalen Noll looked like he's going to be a really, really good slot receiver. He was getting a lot of separation off the line, really, really cooking those D-backs. The other kid from Iowa State, Jaden Higgins, he was my favorite receiver of the last couple days. He showed body control in the air. He's got great hands. In breaking routes, out breaking routes, he's capable of playing the boundary, contested catch guy, but he can also play in the middle. And I was really impressed by him. Also, got to interview both of them together individually yesterday, and then both of them together today. They're very composed, very humble. Those two Iowa State kids are for real, and I liked them. Jackson Dart looked like he should. He's consistent. He hits his windows. He puts the ball where he's supposed to. And then the other takeaway was Ollie Gordon. That guy looks like he belongs on a football field at all times. And he's got the size. He reminds me, eye test wise, just physically, of Braylon Allen a lot. And I'm really high on Ollie Gordon after the last couple of days too.
That makes me feel good when you say Braylon Allen, and people may say, well, Braylon Allen, was 20 years old a year ago right now and was drafted to the Jets. And if y'all remember, had a few good weeks on a Jets team that had a battle line, had a bad year. And Braylon Allen was literally, and I know Theo's giving me a little credit for this, but Ollie Gordon's been a guy that I've kept in that top three.
Yeah.
Braylon Allen a year ago was the same exact guy.
Same.
That everyone's like, Braylon Allen sucks.
Yeah.
He can't move. He's 245 pounds. He can't play football anymore. Doesn't matter that he's young. And I'm like, listen, this guy can play football.
Right.
Ollie Gordon can play football.
Absolutely. And I bought the fall with Ollie Gordon. I kind of like bought into what are we going to see in draft season? Yeah. And he's absolutely shown that he is the guy that he was in 2023. Sorry. And Braylon Allen was the same. I kept through Braylon Allen, even while he was falling, mm-hmm. Kept maintaining he should have been the first running back off the board last year to the Dallas Cowboys. And I get Braylon Allen vibes from Ollie Gordon. We get into this, there's this habit that the space has of the next new big thing, and that was Ashton Jeanty. Ollie Gordon was that guy 2 years ago, and he kind of fell off a little bit. So Jeanty is the big guy now. I'm looking at this as three tiers, basically, at the top of rookie drafts in your fantasy dynasty leagues. You got Jeanty at number one. That's basically the where his value is. Omarion Hampton is tier two. And then tier three starts with Ollie Gordon. I had five guys in the third tier. Now I have him at the top of that third tier.
Who's the other guys? You got Henderson Judkins in there?
Henderson and Judkins, Caleb Johnson.
Oh, yeah, Caleb Johnson from Iowa.
And even, like, I saw some steam on Twitter today for Raheem Sanders, Rocket Sanders, Woo Pig Suey. I was high on him 3 years ago, like, thought he was coming out last year.
He's at the Shrine Bowl. Good. Not Ollie Gordon.
Sure. And he's been injured. He, you know, went through some rough patches, senior portal or transfer portal, and trying to make it. He's going to be an older guy. As we all know, you want a young profile as a rookie running back, and he's not it anymore. But, you know, Ollie Gordon, still a young guy.
The Ollie Gordon thing, I think, and I was in the same boat as you with the Dallas Cowboy thing with Braylon Allen. I think I'm praying Jerry does it right. I'm praying Will McClay does it right. I'm praying we were a year early on that. A lot of things you maybe, you know, when you're going through the process and you're evaluating things, you're projecting things, and you're even in the betting space, when you're betting on things, sometimes what happens is you're like, I'm here. I think this is it. And it ends up being you're a year late, a week late for a breakout, a month late here, a day late here. Never a dollar short with Ollie Gordon. I think the Cowboys, keep your eye on Ollie Gordon, the Cowboys. Last question, we'll get out of here. We appreciate everybody tapping in to Player Profile on Roster Watch Nation. Please click that like and click that subscribe button. You brought up Higgins and Noel. Noel, I had the Christian Kirk comp, and I didn't love him, but I think he's fine. Higgins, I felt a little bit better about. I lost my page over here, but the comps I think were Tim Patrick, Alan Lazard, guys like this. I heard of Michael Thomas today. When you watched Higgins, I think he was 6'2", 217. Xavier Hutchinson was – there's an eerily weird connection between him and Xavier Hutchinson, where they both are at Iowa State. They both were number nine. They both were wherever he was before this. I can't even recall it off the top of my head, but they both had won like conference receiver of the year, newcomer for the Big 12 this last year.
Right.
Right. Doppelganger. That makes sense for Xavier Hutchinson and Jaden Higgins as far as statistically. Higgins, like, what's your thought on Higgins overall? Like, is he your – you said you've liked him the last 2 days. I thought he had a much better day today than he did yesterday. Do you have a comp for him? Do you think he's the best receiver here?
That remains to be seen. I think he's the full package of what an X receiver for an NFL team can be. He's fast. He has good footwork right off the line, especially in press coverage. And like I said, he can catch the ball all over the field. He's got great hands. There was a catch he made on the boundary yesterday where he went up in the air, turned his body, nice soft hands, caught the ball at the high point. Granted, there was no coverage on him, but it was a very, very impressive catch to me. And I went, okay, confirmation bias is kicking in. Mm-hmm. I really like this guy. It's interesting that you brought up Xavier Hutchinson, because if I'm not mistaken, Hutchinson played with Brock Purdy. And I try and avoid helmet scouting as much as I can, but Rocco Becht coming out in the next couple of years from Iowa State was absolutely helped Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins, like Brock Purdy helped Xavier Hutchinson. And Iowa State, they got a good program as far as quarterback and wide receiver. I don't have a great comp for Jaden Higgins just because I think he can do so many things on the field. I like Nico Collins as a comp for him. Mike Williams, he has that contested catch ability. He's not quite as athletic as George Pickens, but he does have that downfield ability. And I think he can win in the middle too, because he's a big guy. So yeah, I really like him a lot. He's one of my top receivers in this class.
There it is. Day two of the Senior Bowl. Alex Dunlap, Theo Greminger, Jason Allwine, Brendan Booth. I'm Cody Carpentier. This is Roster Watch Nation, Player Profile Nation. We appreciate all you guys for tapping in, tuning in, wherever you get your podcast or watch here on YouTube. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow or the next day on both channels. Appreciate you.
Of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.